shapes and fashions. Jesus Christ is not in this place today to condemn you. He is here to bless you and to love you. Satan will do the condemning, and probably some of your so-called friends and family. But when you meet Jesus, condemnation is over. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he wants you to know that there is hope and strength. And he wants you to know that you're not alone. Look at your neighbor and say, have you ever been tempted? Look at your other neighbor and say, stop tempting me. You are not alone. We are all saved by grace, by the mercy and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God wants to help every one of us. I want to talk to us for a little while. I don't know how far we'll get, but we'll just sort of follow the Holy Ghost. And I hope that when we're done here in the next few minutes, that you will find it in you to step out from where you are, to make your way down and say, I need Jesus. I'm tired of this old devil tormenting me and making me feel like I'm nothing. I need Jesus. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 8. Now, in order to get you here, I've got to kind of show you some things about yourself and about temptation. We can understand temptation better. We can deal with it better. And if we can deal with it better, then the outcome will be what God so desires in our life, if we'll let him. James 1 and 2. My brethren, count it all joy. I haven't figured that one out yet, but I'm working on it. When you fall into divers temptation. But the only thing I can figure out there is that if I'm being tempted, I must be doing something right. Or somebody's after me, even if I'm not doing nothing right, somebody's after me trying to stop me and destroy me, which means there's somewheres I can go that will be really good for me. So maybe that's where the joy is supposed to come from. Or maybe it just proves you're still alive. Because I don't think anybody going to be tempted in hell. You're just going to burn. And nobody's going to be tempted in heaven. You're just going to worship. So if I'm being tempted, that means I still have the power of choice. Maybe that's where the joy needs to come from. That you still have a choice. Hallelujah! Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I keep trying to tell the Lord, I am the most patient person I know. Don't say nothing, baby. But it doesn't work. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Here we go. But every man, say that's me. Man here is non-gender. That's man and woe man. Every man. There are no exclusions. I know you can just stop walking like a peacock, honey. You are as flesh as me. Every man is tempted. Goes downhill from here, but it'll help us. When he is drawn away of his When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust, what lust? Say, my lust. You can lust all different kinds of ways. It's not just sensual. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but my Lord God's got some things to say to us today. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err. Don't make the mistake. James is saying, my beloved brethren, don't make the mistake to think that you are an exception to anything he just said. Don't make that mistake. Be fully aware that I am capable of being tempted. I am capable of failing or yielding to that temptation. And that I am acceptable to spiritual death when it's finished. All of us live right there. But God has come to help us today, because he's going to show us a few things in the next few minutes to let us know that we can overcome and defeat the tempter in our life. And that we can live for God and do so successfully in this world and this untoward generation. We can make it to heaven. We can make it to heaven. Brother Sapp, I want to go to heaven. I don't know about you, but I believe that there's a heaven. And I believe that there is a hell. Not a lot of preaching done on hell, but pastor will get to it this year. Hang around. I believe there is a hell where there is eternal suffering and pain. People say, well, God won't send anyone there. You're right, he won't. But your lust will. People that go to hell go there by choice. And that is not a choice that I want to make. I want to make it to heaven. Look at your neighbor and say, I want to go to heaven. Tell somebody else, I want to go to heaven. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. You're in this place. I ask that you use your servant today, God, that we as a body get a clearer and better understanding of your word read here today. That we walk out of this place with power over the enemy. With understanding of ourselves. Help us, Holy Ghost. Understanding of ourselves and how to defeat and conquer temptation in our life and walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. We ask it in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. One more time, clap your hands to the deliverer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, there's victory in the house. Come on. There's victory in the house. Somebody's going to be helped today. Somebody's going to be blessed today. God's going to deliver somebody today. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Everybody say, Satan, the tempter. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, the tempter said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Everybody say, Satan, the tempter. Now, I'm not talking about in this case where Satan himself showed up to Jesus Christ. You and I probably do not, for the most part in our life, ever earn that, I don't know what you would call it, that privilege. To have literally Satan himself appear? No, not going to happen. He's probably in Russia or Washington, one of the two places. But as for you and I, we face daily the little demonic spirits that watch us, learn us, study us. And what are they looking for? I'm going to show you that. We hate one another. I got a spare. Dumb devil. They study us. They watch us. They observe everything about you. He learns to watch the very glance of your eye. He learns the expressions of your face. He watches your little quirks and twitches on your body. He can almost, even though he cannot read your mind, he can almost tell what you're thinking by the actions and the words and things all about you. His job is to learn how to tempt you and be successful at causing you to fail. So you are watched, you are studied, you are looked at. Don't ever think you're alone. There's always a devil with you. And thank God there's always two angels for every devil. Come on, that ought to make somebody happy. Somebody say, thank God for my angels. So Satan is the tempter. Tells us in Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So like James said, let's not err. Let's not be ignorant to think that there is not an adversary watching us and desiring. If you're here today and you're filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, yes, you have power, but don't think that Satan is not watching you. Because if he can bring you down, he has a trophy in hell. And if you're here today and you have never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you might say to yourself, Satan already has me. Why would he be watching me? Because his desire is to destroy you. His desire is to kill you. His desire is to bring your soul to hell with him. But you're here today. You know what that tells me? He has not succeeded. It tells me he's a loser. I said it tells me he is a loser. In your life, he is a loser. And today, you can make a choice that will give you power over all the power of the enemy. Oh, my Lord, I wish there was a few more people excited about this. Woo! The deceiver, the Bible tells us, the tempter, was once among God's celestial cities. He was there, the Bible says, robed and covered in jewels and stones and emeralds. And he was the voice, the worship that took place there in heaven. But pride got in his heart. He was cast out of heaven down to earth. And Satan knows the day is going to come that he is going to be cast into hell. He has no chance, no future, no choice, no chance at all of changing his tomorrows. So his goal, at least one of his goals, is to hurt God as much as possible. How does he do that? He does that through me and through you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, sir, ma'am, Jesus loves you. And it hurts him every time you sin. It hurts him every time you fail. When the tempter comes into your life and causes you to do something that pushes you just a little further away from your heavenly Father, it grieves him. It causes him pain. I don't know how he did it. I don't know the circumstances, but somehow God got you here today. He loved you so much that he arranged your circumstances to bring you to the house of God, because he wanted you to hear that there is a power that you can receive to drive the tempter out of your life. Now, the first thing we need to understand is that temptation is common to every man. The devil would like for you to think that you are all by yourself, that the particular kind of temptation that you are receiving in your life, that surely there's nobody else. And how do you know that? Because everybody else walks around with a smile.
I must be the only child of God, you say, that walks through this and feels this way and has these thoughts. And then condemnation comes upon you. And then what do you want to do? You want to begin to separate yourself. No, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just saying this. And so you start sitting in the corners of the church.
I'm not picking on my people in the corners, Brother Moss. I'm sure it was your wife that made you sit there.
And we find ways to isolate ourselves from everybody else. It's not that we don't love our brother or our sister. It's not even that we don't want deliverance. We just don't feel worthy to be able to worship with them. Surely they are more holy. Surely they are more righteous. I've come to tell you today, honey, we're all on the same boat. Come on, you need to get a hold of this. If you can start right here, you'll give the devil a black eye, because when you realize that everybody in this building faces the same temptations, goes through, has the same thoughts, battles the same battles, you'll go, hey, that's all right. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to dance with the best of them, because we're all the same and we're just trying to get a little victory and we're trying to get a little power and we're trying to overcome. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord. James said in verse 14, but every man is tempted. I didn't list them all because I knew if I kept expanding this thing, as I always do, I never get off page one. And I really like to get to the end today, because that's where we all get saved. So it would be a good place to end, wouldn't it? James says that every man is tempted. And the word of the Lord, when you study the word of the Lord, you find out that every great man of God that ever lived. That's what I love about the Bible. The Bible didn't just give us the highlights about his men. The Bible was honest with us about everything concerning the men of God. Abraham, the father of faith, slept with a woman that was not his wife because he could not believe God enough to bring about seed from his own wife. I'd call that temptation failure. Help me out, Brother Clinton. A little clap to the hands, buddy. I love you. That's my buddy. I love him. If I ever get in trouble, he's there. Don't ever come at me. He'll take you down. I got my protectors in the house. We don't have to go very far, and we find out over and over and over, Jacob lied and stole and fled out of fear. We go a little further, we find the greatest king that ever ruled Israel committed adultery, killed the man and the woman he committed adultery with, and thought he got away with it till the man of God confronted him. But I'm glad that the Bible shows us that men are men. No matter what dimension. No matter dispensation's the word that they may find themselves in, they all failed. They all gave in. They all were tempted and they all lost. And the Bible wants us to know that we are numbered amongst the great. Don't you let that devil tell you that you are worthless, that you don't let him condemn your heart or your mind. We come in the New Testament, we find the same thing, but we don't have time for all of that. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Somebody say, every
man is tempted. Now the Bible says that Jesus, that God was manifested in the flesh. God became so for in order for the word to be consistent and the word to be true, even the man God was tempted. In fact, Hebrews 4:15 tells us, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in, come on, shout it out, shout it out, shout it out, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Are you telling me that the thoughts that go through my mind went through his mind? Are you telling me the things that tempt me and get a hold of me tried to tempt him? I'm here to tell you, yeah, that's the reason you can come boldly into the throne room of grace, because he understands where you are. There is not one of us that has not been tempted. Now, the Word of God tells us, though, that Jesus was tempted but failed not. Wouldn't that be nice? I have any Jesuses in the house? Sarah Mock's hand almost went up. That would have been a sin, baby. You would have been tempted and failed, so you'd have lost your Jesushood immediately. Jesus was tempted and failed not. So look at your neighbor and say, what's your problem? Look at somebody else and say, why do you fail so much? I'm going to tell you why. I'm looking for a verse I got in here somewhere, I think. I have it in here. Let me see. I must have left it out when I wasn't looking. Okay. Look what Jesus said in John 14 and 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. Here it is. This is why me and you sinned, but he didn't. For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Every time Satan tempted Jesus and he reached into the man Christ and he started searching the treasures of his heart, looking, Brother Bolin, for something in there. Maybe a little jealousy. Huh? If there was a Trinity, that might happen, but there's not one. It's just him. He could have been jealous of another God. I'm sorry. We'll preach on the oneness another night. He looks in there and says, maybe I can find just, a little lust or a little envy or strife or maybe a little bitterness, the way people have been treating him. I love you, Brother Sat. Slapping him on the face and pulling his hair and talking about him. Yeah.
And they'd stand there and they'd call him all kinds of names and accuse him. And Satan would see all of this and he would say, there's got to be just a little bitterness in there somewhere. There must be something in that man that I can get a hold of, that I can tempt him and bring him down. But he searched and he searched and he searched 40 days, 40 nights. He looked, he tempted, did everything, but he hath nothing in him. He was a man without sin. But he don't have to look very far. And me and you, Keith. I mean, he don't even have to look. We display everything. We come out of the house. We unwrap all of the things in our life right before him. Ooh, I see a little anger there. Ooh, I like that one. Yeah. Yeah, she was pretty, weren't she? Yeah. You know, they say it's the second look that gets you. So the small addict said, I never took my eyes off of her. Yeah. Oh, I like this one. Oh, yeah. She's been at work 6 months less than you, but the boss gave her the raise. And ooh, yeah, I see a little jealousy there, huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah, daddy loves this sibling more than that sibling. I see a little envy there. Yeah. Oh, look at the neighbor. They're giggling over there. I know they must be giggling about me. I see some self-condemnation and pride and self-preservation in there. We walk out of the house and we open up our mouth and not five words comes out and the devil already knows where to get us. No wonder God talks about watching what you say. Be careful what you do. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you hear. Watch where you're going, because the devil is going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's looking for something in you to get a grip on. And when he gets that grip, he pulls and he tugs. You try to resist, but it's so deep on the inside. What we need is a good altar service where we pour everything out. We get pride out of our life. Get pride out of your life. Get pride out of your life. Get pride out of your heart. We've got too much pride. It seems to be the root and the foundation of everything. We're so full of pride. They're talking about me. Who cares? God doesn't. It don't bother him. Do you see what they did? Who cares? What matters is what God thinks. What matters is what God does. What matters is I walk with him. What matters is I obey his will. What matters is I do what's right. That's what matters. And if we'd get pride out of our life, the devil wouldn't have such a grip on your heart. Your neighbors, he's just trying to help you. Tell him, put the rock back in your pocket. It's going to be okay. So where does Satan get this power in us? I mean, come on. Seriously, it's probably just me.
It's probably just me. I can't go a day without coming to the end of the day and saying, a mental Christian cuss word. Man. And think back over my day and go, I can't count them. How many times I messed up. Today, thank God for bad memories. At least it gives me some sanity. Every man is tempted. Lord, I've already been preaching for 38 minutes. Doesn't it just seem like a minute or two? Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. See, y'all just lied again. I mean, at the end of the day, you just can't count them, folks. You stop doing this and you start doing this. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away with his own lust and enticed. Lust is really a basic, real basic word. It just means to long for. It gets its foundation from the spirit of discontentment. I'm not contented where I am. I want raise. I want better job. I want bigger house. I want, you know, these things are okay as long as you put them in God's hands. And if God sees fit to do it, he does it. But if he doesn't, I'm happy where I'm at. Pastor preached on this a few months ago. Why am I happy where I'm at? Because Jesus is here. He might not be over there. I better stay here. And when the cloud moves, I'll move with it. Now, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Say, I'm not alone. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or me to be tempted above that you are able. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Go back to James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust. There hath no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above you are able. In other words, when the temptation comes, you do not need to be drawn away. You can resist. Here we go. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation, so he don't take it away. He gives you something with it. Also will make a way to escape what? That we may be able to bear it. Bear it how? In that we are not drawn away, but we're able to stand strong. You see, the sin is not in the temptation. The sin is when I am drawn away. Drawn away. Drawn away from what? Drawn away from
God, drawn away from whatever he gave me to enable me to resist the temptation that is in my life. Woo!
We have to look at Paul's point here. That no temptation has overtaken us but which is common to man. By understanding this, we'll do what I talked about earlier. We will not allow ourselves to be isolated. But we will understand what is going on. Everybody say, temptation is not a sin. Now watch me. Temptation is neutral. Temptation is not good. Okay? Temptation is not bad. Temptation is neutral. And what God's waiting to see is what gear comes next. Is it reverse? Going backwards, or is it drive going forward into God? Temptation is neutral. You need to understand that. Why? Because Satan will tempt you, then he will condemn you for simply having been tempted. And through condemnation, we are weakened. And when we are weakened, he comes back with a temptation. And then he convinces us, you've already been tempted. You've already sinned. Liar. But he's the father of that, isn't he? You've already sinned. You might as well yield to it. Say, well, the Bible says if a man has hatred in his heart, he's already a murderer. If he has lust in his heart or look upon a woman to be intimate with her, he is an adulterer already. That is a whole different scenario, and I'm going to get to that in a second, if time will allow. It feels like almost 2 minutes I've been preaching now, hasn't it? Almost 2 minutes. Phew. I want to get where I'm going so we can bring this to a close. So temptation is not a sin. Say, temptation is not a sin. It's crucial that you understand that so that he cannot condemn you just because you've been tempted. Because condemnation will weaken you. Condemnation will drive you away from God. Then the tempter comes back again and he's able to actually get you to yield. You see, temptation is like the devil looking through the keyhole of your life. He's at the door, and he's looking through the keyhole to kind of see what you're doing. But you're on the other side of the door. It's deadbolted, combination locked, has a flip lock on it, a chain lock down here, and it's nailed to the floor on the bottom. And so the devil is looking through your door, seeing what's going on, and he can send temptation your way. However, you have to unlock every bolt that's on your door and open it up to let him. That's called yielding to the temptation. And sin comes when you yield to the temptation. Now, the yielding can be in the mind. There's no doubt about it. What's the old saying? A bird can fly over my head, but only I can allow it to build a nest in my hair. Right? In other words, temptation can fly over my head and I can shoo it off. But if I let it sit there and build a nest and lay eggs and have chicks, that's my problem. I've gone way beyond, right? Okay, so temptation is like the fork in the road, and you make that choice. Look at verse 15 of James. Then when lust hath conceived. Now here it is. I want you to follow me with this. This is more teaching than preaching. But I want you to look at the words of James. Here's the difference. Temptation comes. How does temptation get a grip in my life and in your life? The way it gets a grip is that there is lust in us. It's our fallen nature. Do you understand that? It is a part of your nature. We lust after things. It could be lust.
sensual. It could be lust, materialistic. It could be lust of power and prestige and position. There is a lot of ways in which we can lust. But we have these things in us. Satan reaches into our life and he finds these areas of our life. But now we're still just being tempted. He begins to pull on that because, yes, it does exist. I admit that. We stand bare and open before God. We admit that there are things in us that we don't like. That's why we continue to come before God. That's why we continue to pray. That's why we continue to fast. That's why we read his word. That's why we diligently work towards living for the Lord. Here's the problem, though. Temptation comes. It works through the lust in our life. But here is where temptation turns into sin. Verse number 15. Then when lust hath conceived. You can't conceive until you become intimate. The problem, guys, is we go to bed with the temptation. Instead kicking it out of our house, and refusing. Listen, don't fight it. Refuse it. There's a difference. You hurt me, and I'm going to talk to you later. He can come up to me and offer me something, some drugs. That's refusal. Now, if I reach out and go, I don't want them drugs. Get them drugs away from me. Get them away. Get away from me, you drugs. You know what's going to happen? He's going to win. And the next thing you know, he's going to go, okay. Okay. Just one more time. That's why the Bible says, flee youthful lusts. You can't fight it. It's your nature, Katie Ann. It is bred in us, man or woman. It doesn't matter. It's how you were made. It is your nature. If you fight it, you will lose the battle every time. You must refuse. You must refuse. And how do you refuse? You turn around and you just simply walk away. If you're in your house and there's something going on and you're being battled and you're all alone, do not sit in your house and fight it. You say, well, what do I do? Get up. If you're in your underwear, put some clothes on. What if it's 3 a.m. in the morning? I don't care what time it is. If you fight it, you'll lose. Get up and walk out of your house. Go somewheres. Go to Starbucks and get some coffee. Pick up the phone and call a brother. Call a sister. Be honest. Say, hey, I'm battling something right now. Will you pray with me? Will you come over? Can I come to you? I'm tired of letting the devil lie to us. Come on, somebody. Quit letting him lie to you. Temptation, it's not a sin. But if you get intimate with it, if you let temptation hang around long enough and you embrace it and you get intimate with it, you will conceive. Then, once it conceives, it begins to grow. You thought it was tough earlier. Now it's really tough. Now it's growing. Now, this is the only time I would ever consider abortion, is when you got something in you growing that's from the devil. Bitterness begins to grow. Enviness begins to grow. Why? Because when they did you wrong,
When they talked about you, they did something. It wasn't right. Instead of you turning immediately and saying, God, I love them. They don't know what they did. They don't understand how they hurt me. And even if they did, I don't care. I love them. I'm not going to bed with this temptation. I'm not going to conceive bitterness or hatred in my heart. Temptation is not a sin. Kill it while it's just a little tiny nothing. Don't let it grow.
Okay, I'm going to try to wrap this up. When lust hath conceived, why does it conceive? Because I go to bed with it. I'll let the temptation hang around. I talk to it. I find people that agree with me. Oh, yeah. They'll tell me I'm right, how I feel. They'll encourage me. Oh, yeah, they shouldn't have done that to you. That's bad stuff right there. Oh, yeah, hate them. Yeah. Oh, we'll do all kinds of things. Next thing you know, you're a bed partner. You're going to bed with this thing. You think about it. Your head hits your pillow, and it lays down beside you. How you doing, Tempe? It's been a while since I've seen you. Come in close. We're going to think deep on it tonight. Yeah, we're gonna think of all kinds of scenarios. And what you don't know is temptation is getting intimate with you, and something's being conceived in you. And the Bible says when this thing's born, it's going to be sin. And when sin grows up, it's going to kill you.
What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, this thing that you're in love with will grow up to destroy you. Get it out of your heart. Get it out of your mind. Get it out of your life. Cut it off. It's not worth it.
It takes away your peace. It takes away your joy. It takes away your comfort. It takes away everything that God wants to give you as an individual. It robs that from you. And you got it on the inside of you because you went to bed with it, and now it's conceived, and now you walk around all day, every day with it while it grows. All you can do is think about it. It's consumed your time. It's consumed your thoughts. It's consumed your heart. It's the only thing that you can think about. It's got control of you. It controls how you react to people. People normally come up to you that you would have hugged and said everything's okay, and all of a sudden you're going, I know what you meant by that. And they're like, what? Things happen innocent that normally you would have never paid attention to. But now, why? Because this thing's growing, and it's growing, and it's growing, and it's not going to be long. You're going to give birth, and it's going to become full-fledged sin, and it's going to be wrapped up in your life. And if it grows up, look at your neighbor and say, you will never grow past the power of temptation. You'll never outgrow it. I don't have time to do all of this. I wanted to talk to us about God understands your temptation. And the Bible says that He controls your atmosphere. He sets everything just right to give you everything you need to refuse to walk away. He's the controller of your conditions, the controller of your atmosphere. You say, but I've never fought anything like this. All the more glory to the Lord Jesus Christ when you defeat it. If we give in, we do it by free will. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm closing, verses 8 through 10, for we would not, brethren, have you be ignorant of the trouble which come to us in Asia. Look at Paul's words, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. My God, who delivered us from so great of death and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us again.
What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying it's time for you to stand up in the spirit. Go ahead and stand up physically. It's time to stand up in the face of the devil and say, devil, bring your temptations. I'm not trusting in my flesh. I'm not trusting in me. I'm trusting in the God who's able to deliver. But this I tell you, devil, I will not let you condemn me. I will not let you lie to me. I am loved of God. I belong in his presence, and God is my help in a time of trouble, and I'm coming out of this thing, oh yeah, by the help of God. Everybody say, I will escape.
Let me move along here. I want to go to James chapter 4 and verse number 1. My last verses. I want every mind on God. In fact, I want to just close our eyes, because I know there's some of us, all of us really, maybe some of us, we're battling some things. I'm trying to tell you, listen, just because you're battling, don't be condemned over that. Because you're tempted, don't be condemned over that. Listen, there's a power in this place that'll help you. Jesus brought you here today. Do you hear me? He loves you so much, he brought you here today. But Pastor, you don't understand what I'm battling. You don't know what I've done. Friend, I don't. But I know a God that can wash away your past. I know a God that can put you down in the water in the name of Jesus. You'll go down as an old creature, but you'll come up as a new creature in Christ. The Bible says, behold, all things are new. All the old things are all passed away. Everything becomes new in your life. He's going to renew you. My God, have mercy. Every mind on the Lord, James 4 and 1 says, for whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust? At that war in your members, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. You ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye watch, ye adulterers, you adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Look at verse number 5. No, just keep thinking. Just listen. Keep your mind on the Lord. I want you to see this. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Verse number 6. But God giveth more grace. Oh, my Lord. I love that. That's God's way of saying it doesn't matter what's got a hold of you. It doesn't matter what you're battling. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you're facing. God said, I've showed up today and I've got more grace than you've got temptation. I've got more grace than you've got failure. I've got more grace than you've got depression. I've got more grace than you've got condemnation. I've got more grace. Come on. He said, I got more grace. It doesn't matter what has you. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Here it is. But giveth grace unto the humble. All you've got to do today is humble yourself. Recognize you are but a man, just like Jesus was a man, and you're tempted in every area. But there's things in you that Satan can get a hold of. And if you'll recognize that, you'll come to the house. You'll make your way
way to the altar. You'll humble yourself before God and you'll say, God, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. I need you to come. Oh, give me that which will enable me to escape. Give me that which will enable me to bear. I need the help of God. I invite you to this altar right now. Listen. Keep listening while you come. God's going to do great things in this altar today. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what you're going to do. You're going to come to this altar. You're going to humble yourself. You're going to submit yourself to God. And that temptation, oh my God, it is going to flee. It is going to run, because God is going to give you the power. Verse number 8, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Come on, somebody. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. If you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted. Mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. My God. My Lord. He's in this place. It's not about what you did. It's about who you know. It's not about what you did. It's about who you're coming to. Some of you are in this altar today. You've been battling some things you cannot overcome. Temptations that have a grip in your heart that keep dragging you down. They keep causing you to fall. And when you get back up, they pull you back down again. And you get back up, they pull you back down again. I'm glad you keep getting up, because that's the answer. But today we have learned, I'm not here to fight temptation. I'm here to walk away from it. I'm here to walk towards God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Submit yourself. Resist the devil. He'll flee. Humble yourself. Recognize you need God. Recognize, sir. Come on. Put the pride aside. Come on, ma'am. Come on, young lady. Come on, young man. Put the pride aside. We need God. We can't do without him. We need God. I will never go to bed with my temptation again. I will never be intimate with my temptation again. Because when it's done, it conceives. And what it conceives becomes sin. And when sin's finished, it'll destroy my marriage. It'll destroy my children. It'll destroy me. It'll destroy everything. Oh, I'm going to kill this thing. How are you going to do it? I'm going to come to God. I'm going to come to God. God's going to take it out of me. He's going to remove this bitterness. He's going to remove this longing, this desiring. He's going to remove this hatred. He's going to remove the covetousness of my heart. Oh, yes. He's going to take these things out of me. Devil, you've been a liar. You've just been trying to incubate in me. You've just been trying to grow. You're trying to hide yourself and grow in me. But I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to humble myself. God, I've been wrong. I've been wrong, God. Forgive me. That's what I want you to do right now. I want every one of us to tell God that. God, I've been wrong. I've been wrong to think the way I've been thinking. I've been wrong to feel the way I've been feeling. Oh God, oh God, oh God. I'm tired of walking around with temptation. I'm tired of going to bed with temptation. I don't want it to conceive in me, oh God. Oh Lord, I've been wrong. That's how you do it. You admit You repent of your sin. It don't matter how long you had the Holy Ghost. Repent of your sin. Come on. Tell God you're sorry. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my thoughts. Forgive me of my feelings. I've been wrong, God. Be merciful to me, Lord. Oh, I love you. I love you. And he said, for whatever you've done, I got more grace. For whatever you're thinking, I've got more grace. For whatever's in your heart, I've got more grace. If you'll humble yourself, if you'll humble yourself, let's do that right now, will you? I want to hear some humbling going on in this altar. Will you do that, sir, ma'am? Saint of God, let's take a moment to humble yourself before the Lord. It says if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He'll lift us up. We'll humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift us up. The Lord wants to do something here today. Why don't you find someone to pray with? Listen, we need one another. We isolate one another. We don't want nobody to know we're fighting anything or going through anything. The best thing you can do is have a friend. The best thing you can do for yourself is to have someone that'll pray with you. They're not going to go out and say anything. They're in just as much as a mess as you are. Maybe a different area, but humble ourselves before you, God. If I'll humble myself before you, You'll lift me up. We've come to expose the tempter today. We've come to expose the tempter today. I am not going to be condemned because I am tempted. And I refuse to accept that temptation. I'm going to learn to walk away. I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to walk away. I'm not going to try to explain myself. I'm going to walk away. Not in arrogance, not in meanness, in love. In love. Oh God. Oh mighty God. Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to sweep across this congregation right now. I'm asking you to confirm your word, Lord. Sweep across this congregation. Touch our hearts, oh God. Help us as saints of God, Lord, to learn how to humble ourselves. As saints of God, to learn how to submit ourselves and give ourselves unto you, O Lord. To walk away from our temptations. Lord, not to become intimate with them so that they conceive in us. O God, help us, help us, help us, help us, help us. Lord, if there's a brother or sister here today, and they need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We're going to do something here real quick. We're going to do something. Is there anyone here you would like to receive the Spirit of the Lord today, the Holy Ghost? Do we have anyone here that would like to receive the Holy Ghost today? You've never received it, and we'd like, and you would like to receive it. Anyone at all, just raise your hand. Want to see who you are. Okay. Anyone here never been baptized in Jesus' name? We have a hot baptistry out there. We're already baptized in Waylon. And you would like to be baptized today. You've never been buried in Jesus' name. You say, well, I was baptized, but I don't remember how. Well, you probably weren't. You want to be baptized, brother? Awesome. Waylon here. We're going to get you in just a moment. In fact, let's get Waylon ready. We got a brother right here who wants to be baptized. You say, I don't remember how. It probably was not in Jesus' name. Okay? So we want to do it. We got two, three. Is that hand up worshiping? Okay. I'm sorry, baby. Okay. Watch your hand because I'll grab you. Anyone else? It's the greatest experience you can ever have. All right. Brother, take this brother here. And
And you get Waylon, and let's go get them ready. Church, we're not going to give the devil the pleasure anymore. Tell your neighbor and tell him there is no sin in being tempted. I want you to get that in you. Because if you can't get that in you, the devil will use that against you. The next time you're tempted, in the next 3 minutes, don't leave. We're not done. Listen, folks, I only preached an hour and 15 minutes. Come on. You can handle this. Next time you're tempted, you don't let that devil condemn you. You recognize that you're flesh, and you respond to that temptation, and you say, Lord, enable me. Enable me. Give me what it takes to bear it. Show me how to walk away from it. I'm never going to bed with temptation again. I'm not going to let it stay around. Brother Sapp has a word.
The Bible says that we should do more than just admit or confess that we have sinned. But the Bible says confess your sin. We have to be honest with ourselves and be honest with God. God, I have jealousy. I've been envious. I've said things and I shouldn't have said. I've thought things. I've went places and done things or whatever, or felt a certain way, anger, resentment, bitterness. We need, if you do not give that over to God, it will destroy you. We need the grace of God to help deal with our insufficiencies. We need to recognize that the grace of God is sufficient if it is applied to my situation, my sorrow, my pain, my jealousy, my discontentment, my loneliness. Let's just take a few more moments just between you and God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to confess my sin. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Even if it's just in my mind, I'm going to confess that to God. And I'm going to release it because it's too big for me to carry. Oh, hallelujah. But there is blood in this place today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. The grace of God. Come on. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to lay it down upon the altar. Hallelujah. 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 No more. Somebody needs to say right now, no more. No more. I'm not carrying it no more. No more. No more. No more. Hallelujah. It's being aborted today. It's being aborted today. I'm not talking about a human child. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about a concept that is against the truth. Oh, it's being aborted today in the name of Jesus. I'm no longer going to hold that grudge. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. I can't fix them. Hallelujah. But I can give myself over to God. Church, can we lift our voice again? Oh, oh. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. That's part of submitting to God. As I'm giving Him all of that stuff. Oh. I'm giving it all to Him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Can we sing that chorus together? All to Jesus I surrender. Been full of pride. I'm giving it up. I'm laying it down. That may not be the only time you have to deal with it. Oh, it may come knocking on your door again. Oh, but if He can help us now, He can help us tomorrow. He can help us on Tuesday. Give it, close your eyes just a few more seconds. All to Jesus.